Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Give your walls the most advanced protection with Pittsburgh's Paramount Interior Paint and Primer in one. It's scuff, scrub, and wear resistant, while also blocking stains and delivering true one coat coverage. Choose from thousands of color options and refresh your space for spring. View our entire selection of paint and accessories today on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to find great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Menards. Today on The Grave Talks, a conversation with psychic Cynthia Killian. Cynthia first realized she had psychic abilities at a very young age. Her first psychic awakening happened when she was just 5 years old. Not only is she a psychic, but she's also an astrologer, teacher, and mentor to others who are also on a psychic path, and has been doing readings for more than 25 years. I'm Carol Hughes in for Tony Bruschi, and today on this episode of The Grave Talks, a conversation with psychic Cynthia. Thank you so much for being here today. I'm very excited because I've got a little studio set up. I do everything over Zoom. Today we're face-to-face, so it's very exciting for me. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. And yes, it's exciting to get out of the house and do something in physical life.
Right? You never talk to people face-to-face these days. It's all Zoom. So I mentioned in that intro that you had a psychic ability from a very young age. When did you feel that you weren't quite like the other little kids, that maybe you had something happen to you that was different or something that you're like, what is this all about?
It really started at a very young age for me, and I didn't even have the words or the language, but even growing up, the first house I lived in was haunted. Yes, there was a negative entity in that house, actually, and I will save that story either for another time or for later. We'd have to go into all of that now, but we ended up leaving that house when I was five because the entity burned it down.
Okay, we are circling back to this story. I'm writing a note. So,
but I didn't know, you know, I mean, and I will say my older siblings also had experiences. We all had experiences, but I had experiences. My first memory is of an angel protecting me from the dark entity. That's my first memory, actually, like of any memories.
So when you're that young, you don't know that that doesn't happen to other people. That just happened to you and you just accepted it.
And it's just what was happening with our family. And so it was an interesting experience. And then when I was five, you know, after that experience, and we were homeless for a time, and the Salvation Army had to help us and all that, and we got into a new place. And then we lived out on the edge of Wichita, out, you know, not in the city. And there were woods near where we lived, and my brother was into hunting and trapping. He's quite a bit older than me, and he always had to babysit. So he would take me out, and we'd go out and walk around the woods. And I had an experience of seeing a white buffalo spirit, like a giant white buffalo up in the sky, and it passed through me. Is the only way I know how to experience it. I mean, I felt it viscerally merge with me, and I knew I was called then. I didn't know what I was called to. I just knew I was called to a path, a spiritual path. And this was about at five.
Wow.
And that you know, confused me, but also inspired me. And I thought, well, am I like the prophets in the Bible? Because that's all I knew about going to Sunday school, you know. Now, my mom at the time, she did have some books on the ancient psychic and prophet Nostradamus. She was kind of into that, although for all practical purposes, she was pretty normal, but you know, it was in vogue to read about those things. Mm-hmm. This was the 70s.
Right.
So yeah, I thought maybe, you know, he was a little bit like me maybe, or I was a little bit like him. You know, I could relate to that. I mean, I was like 6 and 7 and 8, 9, 10 reading these books about Nostradamus.
And at that time, you know, it's not like you can go to another kid, you know, it's something, it's
it was very difficult. And, you know, I remember not feeling, you know, too connected sometimes. I did have friends, but you had to keep to yourself. And, you know, I didn't really know the word psychic yet or understand that. But at some point along, I don't know how, I did sort of start to think maybe that applied. And actually, when I was 13, I think was when I kind of started figuring it out. And I told my best friend at the time, I said, Amy, I think I'm psychic. And she said, prove it to me by reading my mind three times in a row correctly. Now, I just want to say, I don't even think that's a measure of like if a person's psychic, because that's just a measure of if they're telepathic.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all kinds of psychics. Different. Like that doesn't even measure mediumistic ability. For example, you could be a medium and have an ability to interact with spirits and not read minds. But, you know, the inner psychic responds well to games and challenges sometimes. And so I thought, well, what the hell? I'll try it. And I really didn't think that I would be able to read her mind three times in a row correctly, but I did. And she literally ran out. She said, man, Cindy, you're freaking me out, and ran out of the room screaming. So I really went into the closet then for a little while because I thought, this is my best friend. And we've been, she did come back, but, and she actually lived with us for a time because of her experiences in her family growing up. So we were really close, like sisters. And I thought, if this is somebody, you know, who really is generally accepting of me, but can't accept this. So that was, you know, I kind of went to the closet, but then at the same time, around that time, I met a man who was a white witch, and he actually took me in as his student.
Oh.
So all this is starting to happen at the same time. But I did, even as I studied the arts of healing and the nature connection, I went on the down low. Like I didn't use that term psychic to identify for several years after that. I kept that in a closet. I learned astrology. I studied that. I felt comfortable because that was viewed as more scientific. Nobody ran out of the room. Now they might say, oh, well, I don't believe in that, or I kind of believe in it, but it was safer. It was a safer path for me to go down. So I did go down that path. Obviously, I didn't stay only on that path.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's how it kind of started. And I do like to say, if there are any listeners who have their own psychic ability, which I know there are, I know somebody listening, mm-hmm. you know, has not just a little bit, but you have this strong within you. And it is a process of coming out, much like what happens, you know, if a person is dealing with, you know, a different sexuality that is not widely accepted, because at first you don't think you're different, and then you realize you're different, and then you realize like, oh my gosh, that may not be accepted. And then you go through all these stages, and then eventually, hopefully you come to the stage of accepting yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I've gone through.
And I have a question going back to when you were five. As an adult now, and you look back at that experience, have you ever thought of what the significance of the white buffalo was?
Well, actually, I've been told about the significance of the white buffalo, and that you can even Google the story about white buffalo calf woman. And the white buffalo calf woman is a Native American prophecy, and she is a figure out of there. She brought the peace pipe, among other things. The white buffalo has much meaning, but it's the return of a time of peace. Well, what I didn't know at the time, and I didn't know anything about the story of the white buffalo, and I also didn't know, because this had been kept as a family secret, I didn't know that my grandmother was Native American. Was it grandmother or great-grandmother? So, yes, so this was all kept. Well, the grandmother was half Native American, and then one of her parents, her father was
Native American. Now that even makes Native more American. Sense to me. That
right.
You had it in your
so I
lineage.
Do. I do think, actually, psychic ability is found on both sides of my bloodline. But I really, even though I didn't really know her well, because I'm born late in the birth order in my family, so that grandmother was pretty darn old already and getting ready to die, you know, when I was young. But I do believe that she largely is probably the one who passed the gifts on to me.
And as you got older, and you realized this is unique to me and maybe other people, because you probably didn't know anybody else, but it was definitely unique.
Right.
How were you able to hone that skill then? You said that you had someone come to you, a white
witch.
Well,
any kind of studies, you know, really, I think spirituality in general is a good way. It sets the right mindset. It's not going to tell you the psychic skill, okay? And there is psychic skill, and you can work to develop psychic skill, but before you even do that, there's a certain kind of consciousness or mindset, really a relaxation that needs to happen, and to get kind of, dare I say, control over your mind a little bit.
That makes sense.
Especially if, and I don't know that it's the goal. I mean, I didn't have any psychic goals at first. Okay. Like, I mean, I really, right. I was just trying to understand myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's fine if a person is at that level. But of course, with your own self-healing and self-understanding, I at least believe that once you reach a certain level in that, there is a duty, I would even say, to give back to others, to reach your hand back. You know, it's not all about just your own self-understanding. It's also about a path to service. But yes, you have to kind of go through, because there's a lot of trauma that comes with living in this world, being a psychic person and not being understood, and also just seeing things differently, seeing things that others don't see, you know, not being able to talk to anybody about it. Especially at, you know, in previous years, still now. I mean, I had a friend who was also very psychic growing up, and she was placed in a mental institution and drugged for that. And that still goes on sometimes. You know, sometimes people confuse psychic visions with schizophrenia, for example. And, you know, it might be schizophrenia, but it might not be.
How do and I don't know what you call it, the visions or the feelings, or how does that come to you? Do you see colors maybe? Is it?
I'm a multisensory psychic. Each psychic is different. And I do believe, I have not just believe, I've observed, because I've got to work with a lot of developing psychics. So that's taught me a lot about the broader gift, how it manifests. So it seems that most of us, and myself, I did have visions from an early age, but I was also would have auditory. That was not as strong, but as the years have gone on, that's become stronger, where I hear it differently than you. It's like a vibration, but I hear it. I can also, this is probably going to sound strange to some others, maybe it will sound normal, because if they have that direction, that leaning, sometimes just hearing a person speak, that's why I can work on the phone so well and on the radio. I just hear their voice. They could talk about anything. They don't have to talk about even what they're needing to get information about. I can tap into something through that sound vibration, even at times the sound of their breathing, if I can hear that.
That's interesting. I never even thought about that.
But, you know, each person is different. And also, I mean, if you've done as many readings as I have, and there are some others that have, you know, not a lot, but if you do, I'm saying, if you do a lot of the work and you basically, whether you're doing readings or just practicing tuning in, which is its own form of reading, the gifts will sharpen and expand simultaneously. So then you'll be able to receive data, if we want to use that word, in many different ways. So, you know, I might receive a feeling, I might hear it. I mean, that is my strongest at this point, is to just connect in through the voice. But I don't always have that. And sometimes I do readings through, like on Facebook, you know, and it's just typing text, and I'm able to connect in, you know, somehow.
Have you ever found there's a person who maybe wants a reading, but you can't? Has that ever happened to you? Like they've got walls around them or something?
Well, it's possible.
Do people need to be open?
It helps if they're open. It's just going to help. And I haven't honestly, truly, I've never had the experience of not being able to get something for somebody. I guess I'm just really good at being able to read their soul energies, but that doesn't mean they can receive it. And I'd like to make that distinction here.
That's an interesting distinction,
you know,
yes.
And so sometimes, I mean, I've even been known to, I don't want to say turn people away, but encourage people to seek other forms of therapy or help, you know, because I can tell that they're not ready to receive the reading I would give. I might even be getting data for them, even in the initial, you know, contact. I mean, not even in the formal reading state, I might already be feeling and experiencing, but if I've sensed that they're just not ready for that, especially if I don't already have a relationship with them, if I haven't entered into that, then I might just encourage them to, you know, I will make a recommendation, and that's part of the reading too, right? For something that suits them better. But yeah, it helps if they're open. It helps to read them. I mean, especially, I mean, why would you want to read somebody not open anyway?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not pleasant, and I don't want to. I've had the unfortunate experience of people bringing their spouses to me. I really don't do this anymore. This is when I was more naive. thought I could help, but they're like, oh, I need to bring my husband or my wife. They need a reading. Well, they didn't even want the reading. It just turns out the other person, like, doesn't want to do their stuff in the relationship. So
you need a therapist.
Yeah. Well, I'm not. So right, I'm like, hey, do you want a cup, glass of wine or some tea? We can just sit here and talk. We don't have to do a reading then, you know. It's not the prison system, right? You know, but yes, it helps. You know, if listeners are going to get a reading with somebody, anybody, okay, consider opening your heart. How open are you? You know, nobody's 100% open, but try to be, you know, 50% or more.
Do you use different abilities that you have within you? Like maybe a reading might include astrology. You know, that's a separate kind of reading.
Yes.
Perhaps. Or are there other things that kind of combine together to help you?
I do have a proficiency in tools. And I mainly am just an old-fashioned psychic medium channeler. That seems to work very well for me to just sit down and do it. You know, or sometimes I'm not even trying to do it. Things just happen. Things just come out of my mouth. Sometimes I wish they didn't. I try to have awareness around that. I'm generally pretty good at that. I'm better than, like, say, some of these TV psychics people ask about. Yes, I can work with tools. I'm proficient in tarot. I'm probably an expert in rune reading and definitely an expert in astrology. So those are things I can incorporate if the situation warrants it. Some people, you know, only want to do astrology because that's a science to them, right? And they're not comfortable with, you know, you can't explain the psychic realm really scientifically. I mean, you can try, but you can't.
You mentioned in there astrology, tarot, but you also said ren.
Runes.
Runes. R-U-I-N?
Well, that is one way to spell rune, okay. But this is R-U-N-E-S.
Okay, explain that to me because that I'm not familiar
with. Well, this little ring I'm wearing, and I know that listeners can't see, but it has all the symbols as well as this bracelet. So this is an ancient northern alphabet, 24 symbols. So you can see them listed in sequence there. And it was used for writing eventually. At first, it was only used, you know, by the shaman priest class. And they believe it was used in magic. I mean, we don't know that for sure because the written records don't go back very far. But probably folklore indicates that. Anyway, there's a lot of different functionality you can do with that. But one of the functionalities is, you know, is as an interface tool to speak with the spirits. And it's simple. It's a simple system. I mean, tarot has, you know, like 70-some cards. The runes has 24. I mean, that, you know, is simpler. Although no less powerful. So that's something that I do too. And I teach people on that because there's, you know, not enough awareness around it. I love to help people expand. There are some psychics out there that don't teach because they don't want to train their competition is how they view it. But I have spent a great deal of energy. Like from the very beginning, I was sharing what I learned even as a teenager. I would share it with my peers if I could. Because I just think there's an obligation if we have teachers, you know, to me, that's like winning the lottery. I think about my teachers that I've had, and especially my first teacher and then subsequent ones, and that's such a gift. And to think that, you know, people have problems finding teachers. And I'm not trying to recruit students. I'm just saying if you have knowledge, even if it's just a listening, even if it's just the intermediate level, There could be a responsibility to reach your hand back and help somebody, you know, who's coming up the path. So
as you were getting a little older, say 18, 19 years old, all your friends are going off to college. Was your choice to pursue this or did you at one time go,
this isn't a choice, it's a calling. And, you know, and it's usually not, you know, I can tell somebody is really going to be called to this path if they don't want to do it. like, no, I had other aspirations and I went to college too, but then I met a man and had a baby, and I'm sure you know this kind of story. And then I went back to college, actually. But during the course of this, raising a small child, I lived away from where I live now in Wichita, and I actually started my reading business in North Carolina. So that was interesting because have you ever been to North Carolina?
I have not.
Okay, and I love North Carolina. It's beautiful.
Sounds beautiful.
It's so beautiful, but you know, as one time somebody put it to me, I said, well, you know, I'm from the Bible Belt because I'm from Kansas, right? And they said, darling, you heard of that Bible Belt? Well, this is the belt buckle. I thought, wow, this is really, I didn't know this. This is really interesting to me. So it was interesting, but I got, I guess you would say hired by a gal who ran a New Age shop there. And she was very far ahead of her time. She had a computer, and nobody had a computer like her back then. And she had computers that could generate astrology charts, and nobody had that back then. Okay. And so she's running this little new age shop, and she's printing out these charts, but she doesn't know how to read them. And I knew how to read them. I knew how to read the symbols. I knew how to tell people what they meant, although I was very shy. I know you can't tell now. So I wouldn't meet with the people, but they would pay me to write reports over, to do readings. I did written readings, and that's how I got started. And you know, that was just a little side income, honestly. I was a housewife at the time going to college, and I wanted to be, I wasn't really sure, like a lot of young people, but I thought maybe I'd be a writer, and then I figured out you don't really even need to complete college to do that. I did complete college. I actually do have a doctorate. A lot of good that does me. But so I'm not necessarily recommending that, okay? but I'm just saying, yes, I did complete college. But yeah, you know, I just started out doing that, and that felt good. And then I had, you know, that marriage fell apart, and I moved back here. And so I started doing astrology because, remember, I felt safer with that. And a lot of people who have psychic abilities feel safer even reading tarot, or like nowadays, you don't have to even take the time to learn the tarot if you don't want to. You can do oracle cards. Do you know what those are? Have you seen those?
I've heard of them. I'm not really familiar with
them. Well, maybe for the listeners, I'll explain. I mean, you can Google it, but basically they're like tarot. They are not tarot though, because tarot is an ancient system. Oracle cards are new, but there's many different ones, hundreds, if not thousands. And so basically they print these cards, they create their own sort of system with pictures. It could be, for example, oracle cards of the cats. Or I saw online yesterday some I was, you know, interested in. They looked interesting. The Mardi Gras oracle. So these are themed. I guess what I'm trying to say is they're themed. And, you know, somebody does the artwork, usually somebody different than who writes the message. And they get a little booklet with it. And it's real easy. It's a lot easier than tarot, because you'll draw a card and it's going to say the message on there. So it might say manifestation. And that's your message, right? Or it might say, now is time to create your dreams, or release the past. These are some ones I've seen.
And those are pretty generic. And everybody would go, oh, yeah, I got to release the
maybe
past.
Maybe, you know, sometimes I'm going to say I only do oracle cards for the art. And I love art. And we talked about our mutual love of art. And there are some beautiful oracle card decks. So
I bet there are. And I would also imagine that people, since there's so many different ones, they're drawn to a certain deck.
Right. And that is the strength of the oracle card, is that you can find a deck that resonates with your personal energy signature. And I think there's great value in that. Now, there's so many tarots now. You can also do that with that, but it just depends. So, and the other thing you can do, whether it's tarot or oracle, you can read the picture. And that's kind of a different discussion, using, you know, the inner psychic to just activate doorways, you know, stepping outside of traditional meanings. But let's face it, people like the little words on there. And sometimes it really does hit you like, bam, oh my goodness. Like, it surprises me, because I'm kind of like, oh, I'd rather do tarot. The reality is sometimes they work. You know, anything can be a conduit for a psychic message.
And with the right person reading those cards.
Right. Or even reading for yourself in that right state of mind that I talked about earlier. I think that meditation is such a key part of developing psychically. Just because you calm your mind, you know, and you open your senses and get your mind off the inner turmoil. And then the spirit world is just right here, but we have to step through the gate, across the veil.
What would you suggest to people about turning their mind off? Because in this day and age, especially, everything is kind of a bombardment of the senses.
It's very
all
difficult.
The time. It's hard to turn it off. We're all obsessed, and I will use the word obsessed, with work. With family, you know, it's just things that you can't let go of. I have to. I think that's kind of ingrained in us, especially in the U.S. So it's hard to shut your brain off.
What I would suggest for the psychic path, for the purposes of awakening psychically. Now, I'm not a Zen Buddhist, okay? And I believe the focus would be different if you were talking about Buddhism. But for this purposes, I would suggest that you don't think of it as turning it off. You want to think about what you're trying to do is to tune in. And if you can even just mentally set that priority, you can say to yourself, I'm going to set a priority, you know, to spiritually and mentally tune in every day. And yes, I did say every day, because you've got to do it every day, because you do all that other crap every day that you just said, and you do it constantly throughout the day. So, if, you know, it doesn't necessarily, at least at first, maybe never, it doesn't have to be a long period of time, but you say, hey, it can be something simple. I'm going to spend 5 minutes drinking a cup of tea and tuning in, breathing, relaxing, letting go, just tuning in, listening, paying attention. There's a lot of different ways you can tune in too. That could be, you know, I'm going to tune into my breathing. That's a good place to start, especially if you have elevated brain consciousness, like what you're talking about, like, you know, and blood pressure probably to go with it.
Right.
Because those kinds of thoughts of got to do this, basically gotta, right? And so the goal is, you know, to turn your attention somewhere else for a short time. And that will be very restorative and reparative. And, you know, it will help you tune. I don't want to get too new agey here, but, you know, it will help you tune into your real frequency. That is you, because you're not gotta go. That's not actually who anybody really is. And so it will help you connect with that essential self. And that's where the power of your inner psychic is.
That wraps up part one of our conversation with psychic Cynthia. Join us for part two in our next episode. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advanced shows, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts and you can try it for 3 days absolutely free. Or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks and get everything there all ad-free. For all of us at The Grave Talks, I'm Carol Hughes, and thank you for listening.